at highway12winery.com.
The Red Grape, located at 529 First Street West, across from the Plaza in Sonoma. The Red Grape features New Haven-style pizza with thin, crispy crust high-fired in a stone-lined pizza ovens. For more information, call them at 707-996-4103. Visit their website at theredgrape.com or find them on Facebook at The Red Grape.
Unicom Tax Services, located at 755 Broadway. For more information, you can call 707-343-1898 or you can visit their website at unicomtax.com.
The Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau, the only spot to get a regional parks pass in the valley, reminding you to support local restaurants by ordering direct and picking up your food in person. For more information, visit sonomavalley.com or call 707-996-1090.
Sebastiani Theater, located on the Sonoma Plaza. The theater offers a year-round schedule of films, live music, comedy, magic, and theatrical performances. It is also available to rent for private events with seating for up to 320 guests. More at SebastianiTheater.com.
And now back to The Morning Show.
And we're back. It's the morning show, everybody. 9:01 on this July the 6th. I'm Marcia Meekumber, your host here for another hour on the morning show with bold women with big ideas. And right now we have another guest with some great big ideas. And they're really important. And everybody can really use these, which is a big important part of them. Hung Yi Lee is a speaker and thought leader who helps people recognize the hidden moments when decisions are shaped long before anybody realizes that they are coming along, which is a big part of communications for all of us and making sure that we get the message that was intended, right? She champions alignment as a true victory, which is important for all of us, I think. Where is my second page? There we go. Second page was playing games with me. And did you know, folks, power moves before the decision gets made? It's full of surprises there. In any event, let's bring in Hung Yi Lee. Good morning, Hung Yi. Good to have you here.
Hello, Marcia. Hello, Sonoma County. Hello, California. Greetings from Rockaway Beach, New York. And it is so nice to be here with you,
Marcia. It is great to have you here. So, you know, one of the things that had me really curious about, you know, the talk that I heard you give and the questions that you put out there for people to think about is, what does it mean that power moves before a decision? And how are people even going to know that power has moved? How do they know that?
Well, Marcia, wiggles back to a question that I like to ask everybody, which is, are you who you want to be in this moment? And I get a lot of very, very interesting answers from people that I speak to, but the majority of the answers always have some condition like, but I could have been, or I always wanted to, or the chance wasn't there and I moved on. There was always something like that. And so that's what I mean by power moving before the decision, because those desires that you have, that you want to be what you want to be, they're very true to you and you're passionate about them. But something happens that prevents you from pursuing that or getting to your goal. I call these moments when power moves, I call them rooms, because many times you're in some sort of room of power. It could be an office. It could be your kitchen table. It could be any type of space where something is being asked of you. And very often, especially for women, it sounds like praise. It sounds like, you're so capable. We could never do this project without you. Could you take it on? Or, I heard this a lot when I was growing up, I can always rely on you. You can always take care of the family and your brothers and sisters in the house. Thank God for you. Sounds like that. that praise is very seductive because it masks something else. It masks that the room has this expectation of you to be the good daughter, to be the capable woman, right? And you get praise for that and it feels good. And before you know it, you're seeking that praise and you're becoming that capable worker, that good daughter, and you've forgotten what you wanted to be, and the room wins. So I call these moments velvet traps. Wow. Because they don't trap you with steel, Marcia. They seduce you with praise. And it's very hard to hear the door close behind you when it's too late. And so this is why I say, when you have a velvet trap, you need a velvet no. Right? So the velvet no is the moment where, let's say you're driving on the road, right? And you get this feeling, I think I made a wrong turn somewhere, or this doesn't look familiar, or I'm lost. You know, you get that feeling that I should stop and look at a map, or I should, if you're not a guy, right? Ask for directions, right?
Yes.
That you get that feeling that something is not right or aligned, right? Many women just go along with the room and they suppress that. I say, it takes a velvet no for you to pull off the road and say, I'm lost, or I need to find my way back. And then look around the room and see it for what it is. And that moment of clarity, Marcia, when you see, oh, you know what? They always come to me to do the job, right? Because I will make sure everything is done. And everybody loves the fact that I'm so capable. But is that what I really want to be, the most capable one in the room? Maybe I want to be the boss. Maybe I want my own business. Maybe I want whatever it is you want. Yeah. Or I am the eldest daughter. Okay, fine. But maybe I don't want to be the one managing everybody's emotions. Maybe I don't want to be the one taking care of all those things that you have to take care of, right? You have to take that and ask yourself that question again. Am I who I want to be, right? So the velvet no is that moment of clarity, because once you have that clarity, there's two things you can do. You can choose to stay in the room. Could be family, could be a marriage. It may be very difficult, you know, for many reasons for you to leave the room. Or you can walk out of the room. It may be a job that doesn't fit, right? There's many choices that you can make. But the most important choice is to say yes to yourself. That, you know what, this is what I want. And then to be able to tell yourself that and to tell the room, this is probably what it could sound like. Yes, I am. I'm so glad you think I can take this project on. I'm happy to be a team member. I'm happy to, you know, get in there and fight the fight and make it work. Here's what I'm going to need from you. Right? Or, yes, Mom, I'm the number one daughter. I will do whatever it takes to keep the family together. It's so important to me, and I think that everyone should know how to do this. Let's call in number one son. Let's call in number two daughter. Let's all pitch in, right?
Yeah.
Because expectations, like many things in life, Marcia, they go both ways.
Yeah.
No reason why their expectations are the only ones etched in stone. You can walk right back in that room and say, here are my expectations. And you know what? You're going to be met with resistance, but you're going to also be met with resonance. Because when you are on your path to doing something that you want, this is the question, as I said before, we always ask ourselves, am I doing what I really want to do? But when you see somebody actually doing it, something changes. Like you feel like, oh my God, that's what it looks and feels and sounds like when somebody's doing it. That is very powerful and it's very inspiring. So although you're going to be met with no's and, oh, you can't do this and, you know, all that, you're saying yes to yourself and people feel that. So The velvet no is what I tell people all the time, everyone that I work with, in every workshop. Think about Bruce Lee. You know, we have the same last name.
True.
I'm not a karate guy. Me and Bruce, we're not related. But we are philosophically, because he had something called the one-inch punch. And I don't know if you know about this, but he was 138 pounds dripping wet. And he was challenged by big guys, like 350-pound power lifters, like all kinds of guys. And he would get in there with a one-inch punch and just go, and the guy would go flying, because he was able to compress all of his presence and power to a point where he could just, boom. Because he chose his moment. He found the weakness in the, in the fight and everything else. And he, boom, that's what did it. And that's what the velvet no is. You find your moment, and your one-inch punch is, you know who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and you have said yes to yourself, and you're standing firm in that. That is very powerful. Bam. That's where the resistance will go. And you're not trying to win every room or every battle. Bruce Lee didn't want to do that. What he wanted to do was to have no fight. That we should not be doing this. We should all be getting along. Just like you're not there to change everybody's mind. You are there to let people know who you want to be in that moment and to respect that. Again, that resonates across the universe. People everywhere want that. They want to be allowed to be who they want to be.
Yeah.
So, in many cases, a lot of people say to me, well, you need power. You need status. You need resources, to be able to do this. And, Taylor Swift, of course, had a situation a few years ago where her company gave her visibility, all kinds of fame and money and things, but they didn't give her ownership of her records, of her masters, right?
Yeah, big deal.
And so she was in the room where they basically said, yeah, we own you. Or you can have this and this and this and this, and you will be a pop star and la, 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 right? But we are going to retain control of the masters. So her velvet no, I love this, was she walked out of the room and re-recorded all of her masters. And she reverted the value of the masters that they held and put them back into the new masters, essentially saying, I am an artist and I own what I create.
Yep.
I know the value of what that is. So she told the room who she was. I am an artist and I own what I create. She also rewrote the profit structure of that room. So that is extremely powerful of what a velvet no can do. Now, suppose you're not Taylor Swift, and suppose you're in a situation in your daily life. What do you do? What does that look like? So I can tell you the story of a woman who went to get married. And she stood in the courtroom of the marriage license place. Mm-hmm. And she was told that her love was illegal and her marriage was unlawful. And that she would be arrested if she pursued the marriage. So the conditions of the room were, yes, you can continue to live in the state of Virginia, but by our rules, you have to be less than. And she said in this courtroom, all she wanted was to love the person she wanted to marry and live in her hometown. So she said, I love my husband. And her husband said, I love my wife. Now, the judge, the lawmakers, they all heard those words. But the people in the courtroom and around the world felt that. They met with resistance, of course, but the people responded. And those two sentences catalyzed the biggest decision in American civil rights history when a United States Supreme Court overturned the ban on interracial marriage in 1967 in the case of Loving versus Virginia.
Yeah.
So it still gives me chills that here's this woman. She was not wealthy. She didn't have means. She didn't have status or anything. She only had who she decided that she wanted to be in that moment. A woman who wanted to marry the person she loved and live in her home state. Right? A very, very basic human desire, human right. And that changed the law of the land.
Yep.
So I feel that this question, you may think it is a very personal question that, well, what do I want to be when I grow up, you know, in that vein. But it has a lot of power, Marcia. It will resonate with people everywhere. And you can never underestimate the change that can happen from you being true to who you are and who you want to be. Because that will have an effect that we can't even imagine. So I feel very passionate about the power of this and why it is so important for us to practice that velvet no in all those moments when we're feeling, something doesn't feel right here. You know, something's off, or, you know, I'm not exactly who I want to be. Why? And you take a moment to get some clarity around that. And once you see the room, you can't unsee it. And you're going to see those rooms everywhere. It'll be the lens that you look at life through. And hopefully by doing that, by constantly pulling off the road and checking your bearings and, you know, reading the expectations and the promises of the room that you're in, you can make power move before the decision. And the decision is really the door closing on the possibility of your life. We don't want that to happen. We want you to be able to say, I get it. I see what's going on here. Here's the deal, guys. I either walk or I'm staying, and here's the terms of me staying. Let's work together. I think that by doing that, by claiming the authorship of your life, that's the only way you're going to come up with a happy answer, the one that you're happy to give when someone says to you, or when I ask you, Marcia, are you who you want to be?
Yeah, exactly. You got to look at that question and go, am I standing in those shoes? Am I holding firm? And recognize where you fall one way or another.
You know? Exactly. And not to be afraid to claim what you love and what you truly are passionate about.
Yeah, so important. We've just got a minute or so left. What would you like to leave with listeners? And if they've got questions, how can they reach you?
Well, every time I do one of these interviews, I get an awful lot of questions about, well, am I in a room if this happens or that happens? Or, you know, what do I do? What do I say? How do I know this is a room I could leave or stay in it? Or what should I do? And so I put together a quiz. And you can take the quiz and learn, well, what is that room asking you? Or what room is it that you're in? And what are your strengths? And you can find that on my social media sites. It's a free quiz, and you can learn a little bit about yourself. And I'd love for you to take it and see for yourself, like, well, this gives me some clarity. What do I do next? And to have the opportunity to think about that.
Yeah.
And you can find that at my handle on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Hung Yi Lee. And I would just love for you to just maybe explore a little bit about these velvet traps.
Absolutely. Yes, there are many. So the trick is handling
women,
them.
Right?
Yes. And for listeners, that's her name is spelled H-O-O-N-G Yee, Y-E-E-L-E-E. Hung Yi Li. Yeah, that's where you're going to find it. Hung Yi, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure to be with you, Marcia.
Thank you, Hung Yi.
And have hello a, again, Sonoma.
Have a terrific week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, listeners, we're going to take a quick little break. We're going to be back with Holly Buttel right after this.
You've been listening to The Morning Show, sponsored by
Highway 12 Winery. More information, 707-938-8815 or at highway12winery.com.
The Red Grape, located at 529 First Street West, across from the Plaza in Sonoma.
The Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau. For more information, visit sonomavalley.com or call 707-996-1090.
Sebastiani Theater on the Sonoma Plaza, offering live shows and event rentals. More at sebastianitheater.com.
Entertainment is blooming across Sonoma Valley, and the calendar is filling up fast. From live music and wine tasting to community gatherings, art shows, festivals, and nightlife, there's something happening almost every day and night of the week once the Tuesday night market season kicks into gear. KSVY and Sonoma TV have been hard at work updating the community calendar at SonomaValleyEvents.com to help you discover what's happening around the valley. Need inspiration for your next night out? Looking for live music, local culture, or family-friendly fun? Visit ksvy.org and click Sonoma Valley Events on our website header and let the good times roll.
And now back to The Morning Show.
And we're back. It's 9:22, and I'm Marcia Maycumber, your host here for another 40 minutes on The Morning Show in Sonoma. And we're welcoming to the show Holly Buttel. She is a transformational speaker, coach, and creator of the ARC Method. Holly, welcome to The Morning Show in Sonoma. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Marcia. I'm super excited to be with you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I was really intrigued to hear about your background because you kind of set out to change things in a big way for yourself, not to mention others, and it really kind of took off in a big way, which was really terrific to hear that. Now, I'm kind of curious. You have kind of two tracks. You have a track for coaching for women specifically, and you have another one that uses the ARC method for leaders and entrepreneurs, and also includes men. So you kind of address a lot of people at a lot of different times, depending on which website and which program that people are into. Tell us a little bit about the ARC method to help us understand how you're helping out leaders and entrepreneurs.
Sure. Actually, both places that I sandboxes I play in, my nonprofit where I work mostly with women, as well as my business where I work with leaders and entrepreneurs. At this point, I'm really using the same system, and I call it the ARC method. And the reason I've transitioned that work into the for-profit world is because this. I've been a business coach and consultant for, I hate to admit it, but 3 decades now. And I've done business coaching spanning just about everything in business that you can span. Here's the deal. No matter what kind of coaching I'm doing, I end up in the same place with my clients. And that place is they're stuck somewhere. And in the space, in the entrepreneurial space, it's always, okay, I need to do mindset work. I need to do affirmations. I need a mindset course. I need self-help books on mindset. But here's what I learned in my nonprofit that I now use no matter what my clients are, is that it's actually usually not a mindset problem. It's a memory problem. Because what happens is throughout our life, we have patterns that we repeat over and over and over and over that we think are either a character flaw, We think there may be a personality characteristic, or we think we just had this mindset block. And we're actually being driven by a silent story in our past that's continuing to sabotage us today.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. And so my work centers on, first of all, you can't change what you can't name. And so my work really starts with helping people identify what is the pattern that you keep repeating, that even though maybe you've even gone to therapy, you've done mindset work, it may work for a little while and then you find yourself back in the same place. What is the pattern? Right? And then my second question is, where did this pattern start? Can you remember a story from childhood or maybe a series of stories where this pattern started developing? And once you find where that story actually started, you can re-narrate it, you can attach new meaning to it, and you can actually start to rewire your brain, even at the nervous system level, so that you're no longer dealing with a mindset problem. You actually are reframing the stories that you're living from, and you can actually have change at the identity level.
Yeah, yeah. I love the concept of reframing the memory, because the memory is not going away. But, you know, we've consciously or unconsciously attached labels to it, emotions. And as you mentioned, then patterns emerge from the beliefs we've built around that memory. Whether or not they are true or real or anything, that's what we've built around it, for our own personal safety, right? We tell ourselves a story.
Exactly. Here's the deal. The brain is brilliant at survival, but it's terrible at storytelling. So the brain's, its job is to keep us safe. And so it's always scanning the environment for this current experience. Do I have one in the past that's similar to it? And what do I have to do to keep me safe? It's not worried about, am I thriving or any of that. And so you can't think yourself out of what you didn't think yourself into. And so being able to understand my nervous system is even reacting to whatever this current situation is.
Wow. So you work with clients to rewire their whole, the meaning that they've built up around these memories, the meaning that they've established for themselves, consciously or unconsciously around these patterns. How do folks start doing that? Is there something they can, you know, if they recognize that they have a pattern or that they need to reset something and they're going, yeah, but how do I do that? How do I reset that? Where does that come from?
Sure. Well, one, in my work, I actually incorporate a couple of things that helps like dramatically speed up the process. So I use some creative tools, for instance, one called a story rope. It's actually hands-on creative activity where you build your story with fabrics and ribbons. And if I'm working with men, we use different mediums, of course, but you actually can tangibly hold your story. And there's something about engaging both sides of the brain that actually facilitates maybe being able to encounter your story in a new way. And once you encounter that story, every time you remember it, it becomes pliable for a period of time. And if during that time when it's pliable, if you can re-narrate it, if you can attach new meaning to it, that's when the neural pathways can go, oh, I don't have to keep repeating this pattern. I may be able to have new data. I may be able to form a different pathway in the brain. And that's how you rewire. The other thing that is key and can really speed up this work is doing it in community. Because sometimes the only thing you need to do to change the pattern and the belief you've attached to it, sometimes the only thing you need is for someone to witness it and to not turn their gaze away and to be able to witness your story in a safe place and say, Yeah, that was really hard. You should grieve that. It is important. And guess what? I'm still here. Your story matters and it's important. So those are the two ways that I use to dramatically accelerate change. Now, what does someone do who wants to start with that is one, identifying the pattern. And I use a tool called the reaction meter. Here it is. As you go throughout your day today, consider the reactions that you're having to different things. So if a normal reaction is a 2 or 3, but every time this happens to you, you're reacting at an 8, a 7 or an 8. And if you don't know when that is, ask your partner, your spouse, your family, your friends. They can tell you.
Yeah.
When you have a reaction that is disproportionate to what it should be, and sometimes maybe it's a reaction that should be a 7, but when it happens to you, you react at a 2. So it can be at the either scale. Anytime you recognize you're out of bounds to the normal reaction, that's your reaction to stop and say, okay, what's going on here? Is there something I'm believing about myself, about other people? Is there some framework I'm running this through that is attached to an old belief or experience that I've had?
That's going to make a big difference. But it's got to be tricky for some people because, A, if it's something heightened, they may not realize that they are having a reaction that is off the normal scale. And the second part is they might not know why they were being triggered. How do you dig into that?
So, first of all, your body will tell you when you're having an out of normal range. And so, and a lot of people aren't even familiar with the way your body's reacting. Here's my biggest advice. Be curious. Be curious about what you're feeling, you're experiencing. And you kind of know when you're having an out of normal range reaction. So the very first thing I would say is, just simply be curious and ask the question, okay, what's going on here? Is there something going on that has nothing to do with what's currently going on? Have I reacted this way before in the past? And you can usually, you may not remember a single story. Sometimes you do. Oh yeah. The first time I felt like this was in 3rd grade when I was sitting in that class and my teacher embarrassed me in front of the whole class. Other times it's, yeah, you don't know how many stories I hear when people are stuck in patterns that started in grade school, sitting in a classroom or on the playground. And then the other thing is, it may not be a single story. It may be a theme. Like, it may just be a theme. Every time this happens, this is how I react. And so then the next question is to ask, what did I start believing about myself, maybe about other people? If you have a faith, what did I maybe start believing about God when this happened? And is it true? Or is it a lie I'm believing?
Right. Yeah. Getting down into the nitty gritty.
Yeah. And once you know the lie or the belief or the false identity you develop, then you can ask yourself, okay, but is this true every single time? Like, isn't there data that has showed me, yeah, not every time am I in relationship, does someone leave me? Not every time I have a disagreement, does that mean I'm going to lose this relationship? There's data that says that doesn't happen every time. And so you can actually start reintroducing a new narrative to that lie you believe or that pattern you've formed. And you have to be super conscious to every time it comes back up to say, nope, that's a lie. I'm not believing that anymore. Here's the truth. And that is actually how the brain starts to rewire and new patterns form.
Mm-hmm, Mm-hmm. I'm curious, Holly, if you have an example, without giving away names and violating any confidentiality, of, you know, a client that you worked with, a story that you want to share of how they came to you with, you know, some sort of a situation or a problem, and, you know, how it was resolved when they worked with you.
Sure. I have, and I can say a lot of stories, but in particular, women who come to me where they, and let's talk about leaders and entrepreneurs, they just keep hitting a success ceiling. Like, I just can't get past this level. I can't get past making a couple of thousand dollars a month. So in this particular case, this woman, she believed she wasn't worth it. Her stories told her she didn't deserve success. Her story told her, because of her childhood and her parents' influence and the things that they constantly said to her, you're not good enough to really ever be whatever. And so our work centered around understanding what her worth was and that she did deserve to be successful, and identifying places in her life where she had been successful. And so that lie's not true. And so she began believing and putting practical steps in place that would show her, one, I am worthy of success, and two, here's my strengths, my giftings, the things that make me uniquely who I am, that set me apart, and let's put those into place. And that's how I differentiate my business. That's what sets me apart. That's what brings me the clients that are meant for me.
Yeah. Big.
And this particular woman started telling that story within her business. And she was became successful in her business anyway. You know, she was having, you know, $15,000, $20,000 a month. When she started storytelling as her brand, her story as her brand and as how she communicated her business to other people in the way that it was unique to her, she started having weekly webinars where she's making $70,000, $80,000 a week, a webinar. And she'll tell you, the only thing I did was tell my story. And it attracted the right clients. It set her apart from the competition. And her confidence, I mean, went out the roof.
Wow. Wow. That's a really great success story. And I know you have so many others because you've coached like over 3,000 different people on their businesses, which is really fantastic. So there's a lot there. We just have a minute or so left, Holly. So what do you want to make sure that our Sonoma listeners know about Holly Bytel?
Sure. The thing that might be most helpful to them is that I offer free breakthrough experiences. So if you're a woman or in a nonprofit or work with high-risk groups, mm-hmm. You can find me and learn more at hollybytel.com.
Okay.
My last name is B as in boy, E-I-T-E-L.com. If you're a leader or you're an entrepreneur and you want to know how to use this technique to overcome things that are keeping you stuck in your business, it's arc.hollybytel.com. And you can find my business-focused contact information and free breakthrough session.
Perfect. Perfect. Absolutely fantastic. Listeners, if you are running into some wall situations where you find patterns repeating or you just can't get past something, you may want to connect with Holly to find out why something keeps coming up over and over again and you haven't gotten past it. You just may need somebody else to bounce those ideas off. So reach on out to Holly. Holly Bytel, thank you so much for being with me this morning. Really appreciate your time and being on the morning show with me this morning. A lot of great insights into how you work with your clients and nonprofits and leaders out there. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Marcia.
Thanks, Holly. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, listeners, we're going to take a quick little break before we come back with Lizzie Lewand right after this.
You've been listening to The Morning Show, sponsored by
Highway 12 Winery. More information, 707-938-8815 or at highway12winery.com.
The Red Grape, located at 529 First Street West, across from the Plaza in Sonoma.
The Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau. For more information, visit sonomavalley.com or call 707-996-1090.
Sebastiani Theater on the Sonoma Plaza, offering live shows and event rentals. More at sebastianitheater.com.
This health moment is brought to you in part by Sonoma Valley Hospital.
It's not uncommon to develop aches and pains as we age. When the pain isn't acute, we often choose to live with it, which is not always the best idea. Most will go away naturally after a period of time, but some pains can become chronic if untreated. If you are experiencing persistent aches or pains, it's a good idea to have them checked by your physician.
Climate change is bad. Is there something simple I can do to help fight it?
Yes, there are many things you can do, but a very simple action is to properly sort your waste.
What do you mean by proper sorting?
Proper sorting means to separate your waste at home and place it into the correct cart. This means to put food waste and organics into the green cart, put recyclables into the blue cart, and put the rest into the black, gray trash cart for the landfill.
How does this combat climate change?
By properly sorting food waste, you keep it out of the landfill. Food waste in landfills creates methane, a powerful greenhouse gas. Instead, the green cart materials go to a compost facility to create compost, which helps to retain moisture in soil and is filled with rich nutrients that are beneficial for growing healthy plants. By properly sorting recyclables, we can recover and reuse valuable materials, which reduces the need to harvest new raw materials, prevents pollution, saves energy, and reduces greenhouse gas emissions.
Wow, you're right. I can make a difference and help combat climate change.
To learn more about what you can do to combat climate change, go to www.sonomacity.org/sustainability.
Please sort it, Sonoma!
And now back to The Morning Show.
Back in. It's the morning show on Mondays. I'm Marcia Meekumber, your host here for another 15 minutes or so. And I've been very excited to get to talk to our next guest. Lizzie Lewand is the founder of Happy Hospitality Solutions and a former hotelier. She is right here in wine country, and she helps organizations create the kind of culture where customers want to come back. And employees actually want to show up, and the whole thing just works, really works, you know, humming along, which is the whole point of hospitality. Right, Lucy?
Absolutely.
Good morning. Thank you for being here.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, it's exciting to have you with us. So you know, one of your kind of mottos, one of the things that you live by is that hospitality isn't just a good service thing. It's a leadership advantage. If you Absolutely. Have good hospitality, talk a little bit about what you mean about it being a leadership advantage.
Well, I think, especially right now in the age of AI and just like everything that's going on in the world right now, that hospitality is something you can really double down on for small and medium-sized businesses. I mean, it doesn't cost any money, and it's fun. You can make it fun in your business or your life. If you're a host of a party, thinking it through, you know, planning it out, thinking about all the moments that'll touch your guests or your team if you're a leader. So I just think it's such an opportunity right now to differentiate from, I think Marcia heard my story about, you know, when we call in to the cable company, all of us, and you know, you just get the bots and you get someone
yes.
saying they can help and they can't. And we have the opportunity, human to human, to make a difference in someone's life.
Yeah, it really can make a big difference. And, you know, as you were saying in so many words, you know, kindness is free. You can give your kindness to somebody else and be memorable, be heard, and improve their day. But it can be a real challenge in this industry. We all know that in the hospitality and the wine industry here, which are tied so inextricably together, you know, sometimes somebody's come to work and they're having a rough day already. You know, maybe they got a flat tire, or, you know, a child who was up sick all night long and, you know, they didn't get a good night's sleep before they have to show up for their shift and all that. So it can be kind of tricky to do that. So tell us a little bit, Lucy, about some of the things that people can do, you know, whether or not they're in hospitality directly or just a leader, to make a day better, to relieve some of that stress that allows people to go forward and feel cared for.
I was just say, it's so funny because when I've been in hospitality a very long time and people used to call to make a reservation and people would say, you sound so friendly. You sound so nice. You sound so happy. And it's like, I go, you know, like I'm thinking to myself, I have to answer the phone over and over and over again, answering the same questions. Oh, so, you know, just taking that moment before you greet your team, before you go walk into the restaurant as a server or whatever, just to pause and actually smile. Like we used to have a mirror next to the desk to smile before we answer the phone, because actual smiling releases like chemicals that make you happy anyway. Yes. And I talk a lot in my social media posts about remembering your why. Like even if you hate your job as a server or, you know, being a GM that's on call 24/7, you know, like you're doing it at the very least for your family to pay your bills. But a lot of people in hospitality genuinely like people and they, you know, want to be happy. They want to serve the people and for the people to have a great experience. So, you know, it's that kind of just taking a moment and actually closing your eyes, smiling and remembering, yes, this is, yeah, my kid's sick, whatever, but I got to do it anyway, so I might as well have fun doing it. I'm big into having fun.
Yes, but, you know, there's something magical about focusing in on the fun, whether or not you're in a hospitality situation or, you know, a corporate leadership situation. You know, when you make it fun, the weight of the world lightens.
It does. I recently had a client who, one of my big things is language, and one of my pet peeves is people who say no problem. And, you know, that I can talk a lot about that. But anyway, she had someone on her team that was from Jamaica, and that's like a cultural thing that they say. And she said, how can I help her not say it, you know? And I said, make it a game, like, you know, make it a game. How many times I said something different than that, you know, with gold stars or whatever it is, make it a game. You know, it's like noticing something about someone that comes to your party or walks in your business. Oh, I like that top, something personal. And those small moments add up and make loyalty, make customers, lifelong customers. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a learned and repeated pattern, and it takes time and conscious effort to break the pattern that you've had before.
Yes. And it's like a lot of people ask me, because I'm naturally outgoing and like people and stuff like that. And I often wonder about wineries around here that hire people that obviously don't like people, but it is learned. You can learn and train yourself. Again, going back to the why and building habits, like tiny habits can build over time to really make a difference in your own life and those you serve.
Yeah, can make a big difference. And, you know, I'm curious, you know, in and out of the hospitality industry, you have a strong belief that, you know, a hospitality culture is really an important responsibility for leaders overall. You know, for those who are sitting there thinking, I'm not sure I understand why hospitality should be, you know, critical to a leader's skills. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So you're leaving a team and you, it's one of those things where it, again, it may not come naturally, but it's something that it's a culture that if you demonstrate it as a leader, like you matter, I care, someone has had a bad day, you notice it and acknowledge it rather than saying, okay, get to work, basically, you know, like you yes. actually look at the person, see them and acknowledge it. That goes incredibly right. far for that person to be able to basically perform their duties that day. And if you can build that culture, there's a guy I follow on TikTok or Instagram, the Italian server. Anyway, he was talking about it today about how when you're in a culture that they say, oh, it's family. And he said, is it really family? He said, you can see where when it is family, it's like everybody helps each other. It's from within, the culture is. So therefore, it's easy to help their guests and customers when they're all in it together for yes. a common purpose. So as a leader to build that culture, man, right. you know, I had housekeepers that stayed with me for 35 years.
Wow.
And we were family. They were all sisters, but anyway, but we, you know, there was something about how we treated them that made them treat us and our guests with the care and love that, you know, our inn was known for. So.
Yeah, that's really impressive. And it makes me think about the opposite end of that, which is, you know, we all heard about the quiet quitters out there. And when you talk to them about why they were quitting, why they were just doing the bare minimum, they felt invisible. They felt like what they unseen. Did didn't matter and unseen. So what an enormous difference that can make. You have a little something called the hospitality hum. Can you talk a little bit about what that is?
And when you introduce yeah. me, it's like someone, I think AI said, you know, don't put just because everything works. I'm like, yeah, but that's what it feels like when the hospitality hum is going.
It's the like, groove. You're in the groove.
Yeah, the groove, the vibe. You walk in the door, everything like matches the type of energy you want to have. You have, and I call it the three E's, the energy. That's like what people experience before they even walk in the door. It might be your website, your social media, whatever. And then what energy is that? And then when they walk in the door, what experience are they having? Does it match, you know, what you're trying to accomplish with? So what experience? And then the echo is, you know, what people say about you after they leave, whether it's reviews or they come back. The best thing is loyalty. So, and those, I just think tiny moments, and when you get it all going, and it's the physical plant, it's the space, it's the music, it's the greeting, it's the people, it's all of it together, especially when you're in the lodging world, you know, does the room match the vibe you want? Yeah. You know, is it a sedate or is it like hip edgy? What are you trying to achieve?
Right, so right.
Think it all through.
And they can all specialize in different areas too.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you could, you know, there's definitely the resorts that are going for the most calming zen effect
exactly.
versus those that are exuding energy, you know,
exactly.
and a lot of, you know, a hip appearance that is matching. So I'm curious with all of this, can hospitality actually be taught for somebody who feels like hospitality is not my jam, it's not my vibe, it's not who I am. Can it be taught to those people?
Yes, I believe it can. I mean, it makes it so much easier if it comes naturally. Like one of my coaches used to say, I'd tell him something, he'd say, there's a reason why you're in hospitality, Lucy. I could never put up with that. But it's like you, it's a culture that you can belong to, and there are, you know, systems that can be taught. And then hospitality is kind of like, so there's the service, the experience, but the hospitality comes, I should say, there's the service, which is the transaction. Like mm-hmm. I go into McDonald's, they give me my sandwich, I pay them money. But there's, you know, you can go to McDonald's, and I've had it in the drive-thru where, you know, the guy is really friendly, and, you know, it makes a difference. And I don't know if you really enjoy the hamburger more, but you feel that. So if you're not into it, again, I go back to my beginning, like, think about, like, okay, I'm going to work today because I want to pay my bills and I want to watch a good movie tonight. You know, so I got to have the money to do that. So
absolutely.
And again, I go back to, why not have fun doing, you know, why not enjoy what your life rather than grudgingly go along? I mean, there's so much kind of negative energy in the world right now. You know, be the light. That's
like, be the light. There you go. Lucy Lawan's advice. Be the light. Be the fun. Bring it all to hospitality, because you will have a better experience and your guests will also, absolutely, or your employees. Lucy, we've just got about 30 seconds left. What would you like listeners to know before you go?
So connect with me on social, on TikTok and Instagram. I post often, Lucy_hospitality. DM me there. I'm happy to meet with anyone that's either a server that hates their job or a leader that wants to inspire their team. Strategy call, you know, just DM me on my social and we'll get together. And yeah, go out and be the light.
Woo-hoo, be the light and have fun doing so. Lucy Lawand, everyone. Thank you, Lucy. All right, thanks. Bye-bye. Listeners, we are just about out of time ourselves here. So Simon Says Sports is coming up in just a few minutes. I, of course, will be back here next Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Hope you had a fabulous 4th, and you're going to have a fabulous week ahead here that we're starting with July the 6th. I'm Marcia Meekumber, your host on Mondays. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye. Goodbye.
SBY Sonoma.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by
The Schoen Group, located in beautiful downtown Sonoma. The Schoen Group is affiliated with Sotheby's International Realty. Our goal